Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Thank you, Jesus. How are you doing this morning? How are you feeling? I'm feeling really good. I'm excited about Jesus. Excited about what God is doing at Revival Life Church. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. How are you feeling this morning, Christopher? Feeling good? I'm feeling good. I'm excited about God. I'm going to be, I was going to say this. I was going to tell you what time I'm going to finish, but my watch is running slow. So, going to have to take a look at that there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 10, we're in our courageous message series. I'm going to get right in the word. Amen. Starting in verse 10, he says, as each one has received a special gift, so special, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. I am thoroughly, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, convinced that we are not only supposed to operate in the power of God, that is supposed to be increasing in our lives. Amen? Amen? I am convinced. And if you are here, if you believe the Lord has brought you here, if you're connected at all, that is your inheritance as well. Amen? Amen. You don't seem nearly excited enough about that. I'm pretty excited for you. I just wonder what would happen if 150 people in Boca Raton began operating in the presence and power of God in their daily lives. How would Boca Raton be changed? How would your family change? What if you got to Christmas dinner or Easter dinner and you showed up in the presence and power of God? How would that change? How would that begin to change? Hallelujah. I like what Bill Johnson says, that Jesus never went to a funeral he didn't wreck. I like that thought. I like that thought. I can just see him. It's cute what you planned here. However, I got some other plans. It's called life. I had a conversation with a man I really love, and he's like, I heard something really profound this week. He said that everybody has two dates written for their life, the day they're born and the day they die. It's been written in heaven. I was like, well, that's interesting. If that's true, then why was Jesus raising the dead? Why is Jesus raising the dead if we all die according to God's plan, right? I was in Trinidad recently, and give it up for Trinidad. We got to go just to eat, if nothing else. Doubles. Oh, Jesus. I'm getting caught up in the glory. But the pastor that I stayed with there, he elbow that stand, Corey. One more anointed elbow. That one wasn't as anointed. The gentleman I stayed with there, I asked him, how did you get converted? How did you come to Christ? And he said, as a child, I was very sick. I was an invalid most of my life as a child, and they thought I was going to die. And they expected me to live to about 18, 19 at the most. And when I was 16 years old, I heard of a man who was healing the sick. And I went to him, and I went to this meeting, and my body was healed. God completely healed my body, called me into ministry. I was like, well, praise God. That's good news right there, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. And he said the man, he operated in incredible power. He said that he was a pastor. Actually, he was a businessman who also had a ministry on the side, and he died. And he said, while he was dead, he said, you know, they had a wake. He said, do you have wakes in America? I said, yeah, we do. He said, oh, I didn't know you had wakes. You know, that's where you pray until the dead person wakes. I'm like, no, I guess we don't, you know? And he said, they had a wake, and he was raised from the dead. And God called him into ministry, and then he went into a powerful ministry of healing and deliverance. That's where I got healed and delivered, and I've planted churches, you know, all over Trinidad. He's a bishop in Trinidad, just an amazing. I was like, we need more wakes. And the funerals are good and all, but we need more wakes. Amen? I feel the Holy Ghost just talking about that. Somebody die real quick. Come on, I'm ready. We want a wake, don't we? I mean, can't have a wake without death. I jest, but how do you live in a way that increases the power of God in your life? How do you live in a way that increases the power of God in your life? It doesn't happen by accident. I promise you, it doesn't happen by accident. And if I had to guess, the majority of the people in this room have encountered the power of God at some point in your life. The majority. And if you haven't, we'll be right here today, on today, your moment. But I don't want to have mountaintop experiences. I want to go from mountaintop to mountaintop. I want to live in a way that I'm not looking back to the good old days. I don't want to be looking back to what God used to do. I'm tired of going to services where they talk about we need to get back to Azusa or back to the praying days or back to, I don't even want to go back to Pentecost. I'm looking to go back to the garden where I walk with Jesus in the cool of the day and where nothing is impossible, where I eat from the tree of life day in and day out and where I name everything good and bad and I curse the things which are bad and they leave people's lives. Amen. I'm looking to walk in the presence in power of God. But it does not happen by accident. Even people who are sovereignly called do not keep that presence on them by accident. You got to value it, and you have to tend it, and it grows on purpose. You hear me? It grows on purpose. And I have found there is a key that unlocks the rest of how you do this, and it's called be courageous. Be courageous. Fear is the great killer of presence. Are you hearing me? Every fear, every anxiety in your life, every time you give that thing authority in your life, it's taking the authority of something else. It's taking the authority. It has no power in and of itself unless you give it power. And it wants the power God has given you. It wants to super anoint fear in your life. Are you hearing me? I'm very excited about what's coming. Now, I believe that you can get anointed several ways, right? I've studied this. I've taught on it. I believe in it. I see it all the time. I know. That every believer has the Spirit of God with them. You cannot be saved but by the Holy Ghost. Amen? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen? At salvation, as a down payment, right? Like every believer has the Spirit of God. Amen? Let's not get funky in our theology. Every believer has the Spirit of God. The question is, how much are we yielding to that, right? Jesus said that the Spirit would bubble up from the inside of us. Right? It will bubble up from the inside of us. And you have to give that, you have to yield to that bubbling. You have to yield to that. You have to be courageous, because rarely does that happen in times that are most convenient. Rarely does that happen. I have found that every time I'm in a conversation, I have something I want to say. Holy Spirit may have other things. It's not convenient for me to stop saying what I want to say what He wants me to say. It's not convenient for me to do the things that He wants me to do when I already have a plan of what I want to do. Let me break this down one more level. I already have a plan for my money. I have found that sometimes God also has a plan for my money, and it's quite often those aren't the same plan. Does this make sense? I have also found that if I go with God's plan for my money, it's now His responsibility to supply me with money. Amen. All right, we'll get into that in a second. Hallelujah. So, we all have the Spirit of God, and you can allow that, you can just yield, just read your Bible, pray in the Holy Ghost, and allow that to bubble up from the inside of you, and it will grow. The power will grow. The presence will grow. The authority will grow in your life. I've also found there's a shortcut called impartation. I like shortcuts. I really like shortcuts. I'm into shortcuts. And I have found if I have a heart to serve, it is possible for people to lay hands on me with the anointing on their life and give it to me. And I am a collector of anointings. I want it all. I don't have a gift I want. I want them all. I don't see why I got to be limited to two or three or four. I don't know why I got to be limited to the nine in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 12. I don't know why I got to be limited to the nine in Romans 12. I don't know why I got to be limited to any of that. I want it all. I want those works that Jesus did that aren't even written. I want some of those. The ones that people weren't bold enough to do when they walked the earth with Him. I want some of those. I want the weird ones. I want the happy ones. I want the practical ones. I want the impractical ones. I want any way that God could manifest through me on the earth. I want it. Amen. I want it. If it's God, I want it. And I'm willing to see if it's me or if it's God. And if it's not God, I'll repent, but I want it all. Are you with me? I want it all. I want you to have it all. I am excited when I see people operating stuff that I haven't even heard about it yet. And they're like, yeah, I did this. I say, you did what? What? That's awesome. Pray for me. I want some of that. I want it now. I don't want a shortcut. I want you to teach me. I just want it, right? I just want it. But there's things that I cannot lay hands on you to receive. You got to get them from Jesus. I can't lay hands on you to receive an identity. You got to get that from God. In churches, we, especially in the mega church movement and the charismatic movement, we become people worshipers. We don't say that, of course. We never say it. We throw stones at the Catholics because they worship Mary, and then we'll go to the mega church dressed just like the man up there, say the things that he says, and act just like him. Quote him more than we quote the Bible, right? I'm just, you know, come on. We got to deal with our own stuff before we start pointing fingers. Amen. I feel like I touched something right there. Watch out. Right? We got to deal with our own stuff. We love some Christian celebrities. My God. I don't know a lot, but I meet more than I thought I would meet, and I'm rarely impressed. Is that wrong to say? I'm like, man, these are people who are just anointed. They have the same amazing God I have. These are normal people with an amazing God they've learned to cooperate with. And that encourages me. That means like, man, maybe I'm qualified too because I'm a person. Right? Like, if you're not following God today, let me break it down. If you're not following God today, I got to hurry. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. And so some people say, well, some people can't get saved. That's funny, because if you're a whosoever, you could be saved. If you're a whosoever, so I guess whoever is not a whosoever can't get saved. But if you're in the group of whosoever, you could be saved. You're like, well, you know, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's for you guys, not for me. That's funny because He said He would pour it out on all flesh. Yeah. If you got flesh, it's for you. Yeah. If you don't have flesh, I guess it's not for you. Unless you believe in that whole dry bones thing, then I guess that's within that also. So if you have flesh or bones, it's for you. But I guess if you're not in the category of flesh and bones, then it's not for you. Right? Are you with me here? I'm feeling good. I'm talking too much, but I'm feeling good right now. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to release something right here. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. So certain things you can only get from Jesus, right? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't call upon the name of Corey Pagano. You can't call upon the name of Mike Rentler. You can't call upon the name of Billy Graham. You can't call upon the name of Stephen Furtick. You can only call upon the name of Jesus Christ. You can only get salvation from Jesus. You got to connect to Him to get. I cannot lay hands on you to be saved. I can't lay hands on you to be sanctified. I can lay hands on you and cast the devil out of you, but only you can determine what's going to happen in your heart. Amen? Are you with me? We're having a good time here, yeah? What I have found, though, let's start moving quickly here. What I found, though, is when we lack purpose, when we have a when we don't have an understanding of the purpose in our lives, we start inventing new things to give ourselves success. Right? Anytime you lead an organization, if you are leading an organization and you don't make the purpose clear, the members of the organization will then define their own purpose and start playing games to be successful. They want to win the boss's approval, so they start creating their own games to win that approval. You start having office politics. You start having people trying to impress the boss instead of achieving the purpose of the company. All right? So if you're a supervisor in a ministry, if you're leading a business, if you have employees or you are discipling people, if you don't define the purpose, each person in there will define their own purpose. Are you with me? In your own life, we can see this when we start adding significance to insignificant things. Let me give you an example. All of a sudden, number of Facebook likes becomes a little too important in our lives. Impressing people with our new stuff becomes too important because we don't see our actual purpose, so we start playing games to invent a heightened purpose that we can win. And so I don't say that to judge anybody who has stuff or Facebook, but it's good to be aware of what we're doing in our life. Are we living out of our purpose, or are we inventing things so we can feel successful? Are you with me? Hallelujah. There's a fire somewhere, and it's probably the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you got a handout, I want to go through a couple things real quick. Now, I believe Peter addresses this issue. I want to live with purpose. I want to actually accomplish stuff. I don't want a church accomplish stuff. You know, that's when you say you have things you don't actually have. I'm healed. Okay, well, I'll take your cane now. You're not actually healed. What do you know? I actually want to accomplish things, right? Right? It's amazing how many churches have international at the end of their name and aren't actually international. So the 90 of you are international. That's amazing. That's amazing. Oh, you went on a short-term mission trip last year. That's amazing. Okay. I actually want to be accomplishing things, like in reality. Right? Not like in Sims or, you know, World of Warcraft, you know, whatever these things are, you know. I'm leading a kingdom in this video game and I spent 4 years building it. No, I want actual success. Does that make sense? Oh, gosh. First thing I want you to see, let's look at 1 Peter 4:10. Let's dig in this real quick. I'm feeling good, Corey. I'm feeling good, man. Here's Peter talking to us, and Peter, like Corey said, just breaks it down nice and plain. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Leave that scripture up, please. As the manifold, there's a lot we can unpack that for a few weeks, but we're not going to. we got to see what this power is for if we want it to increase, right? First thing Peter tells us here, write this down if you're taking notes, we just serve somebody. Serve somebody. I guess I should have worded that differently. Serve somebody other than you. Serve somebody. Are you with me here? If we want an increase in the grace of God, we need to steward it well. That's what Peter said. We need to steward it well. What does that mean? You need to take care of it. If you have a small child, other than you, good job, tech team. If you have a small child, you know what it's like when you buy them something nice and they break it within a day. You know how frustrating that is. And then they want some more nice stuff. They're like, you're not taking care of the stuff I gave you already. You want me to buy you stuff? You're not taking care of the stuff. Go play with the broken stuff because that's what the nice stuff will turn it into. Just play with the broken stuff now. We'll shortcut me spending money, right? Like, you will skip that step. Play with broken stuff, right? We want stuff to grow. We need to take care of what we got, and we got to figure out what the user manual says for the stuff to use it properly so we can have it grow in our lives, right? I'm going to use kind of a secular idea to break this down. Do we have any accountants in the room? One here. Okay. So listen, there's a thing in accounting called a fiduciary responsibility, right? There's a fiduciary responsibility. Anybody heard of this before? Fiduciary responsibility. A fiduciary responsibility basically means that I am stewarding something that's not mine. I have to take care of it like it's not for me. Okay? Let me break this down for you, right? Let's put up my first slide if you would. Let's say Coca-Cola. Have you heard of Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
Let's say that you're on the board of Coca-Cola, right? You're on the board, you're in charge, you run it. There isn't like an owner of Coca-Cola. Everybody owns shares. There's, I don't know, millions of shares of Coca-Cola out there. They elect a board. The board runs the company like they're in charge, because they are. They're the board members of corporations. That's how it works, right? And these board members have a fiduciary responsibility to run the company for the benefit of the company, right? You hearing me? Now, Coca-Cola has assets of $87 billion. Put it up there if you would. $87 billion in assets. That's stuff that they own. That's a lot of money. I would just take the $270 million. I would take the $70 million. I would take the million. I'd take $270. I'd take the Coke, right? I would just like, that's a lot, right? That's a lot. It's a lot. And so you're on the board. All of a sudden, you're in charge of $87.270 billion. Billion dollars. Now, it's really easy to look at that and say, I have $87.270 billion to spend, right? It's easy to do that. That's why they say it's illegal to look at it that way. Let me show you an example of that here. Let's say you're on the board of Coca-Cola and you say Coca-Cola needs a desk. Coca-Cola needs a desk. And you say, Coca-Cola needs a desk. I have a desk. And since I'm on the board, I'm in charge of how we spend the money, I'll sell Coca-Cola a desk for $270 million. Right? Here's what you're thinking. You're thinking, next slide, please. Coca-Cola equals me getting money. Right? Because you're in charge of the money. And you can say, I can get Coca-Cola's money and sell them my desk, which I think is an amazing desk. I'll sell it to them for not the whole $87 billion, but I'll sell it for $270 million, because who's going to miss that when you have $87 billion? Right? And I'll sell them that they'll have the desk. I'll have a lot of money. Everybody will be happy. The only problem is that's illegal, because you have a fiduciary responsibility to look out for Coca-Cola, and anybody who can rub two brain cells together, no, you don't need $270 million for a desk. You do that and you go to jail, right? That's how that works. You go to jail. There's laws because corrupt people do that, right? Are you following me? You understand how that would be wrong, right? Everybody puts in $5 for pizza, 10 of you, guy comes back with one pizza and a new ring, right? You're upset. Right, you're upset about that because he had a fiduciary responsibility to only buy pizza. We haven't authorized you to put money in your pocket. Are you with me here? Thank you, tech team. Stop. So, hear me. You have to subdue your own interests for the collective interest of the body when God gives you a gift. If you want to increase in the gifts, you got to recognize he gave you a gift not for your own enrichment, but to steward it for the benefit of the organization, in this instance, the body of Christ. It's not so that you could be special or you could be on stage or you get the mic or everybody thinks you're so amazing and you go around telling people how amazing you are because God gave me this gift. Now I'm going to pervert this gift, and instead of giving the glory to God, all of a sudden I'm going to use this to enrich myself. Paul talked about this back in the day. People use the gift of God for personal gain instead of the gain of the body. Unrighteous gain, right? For financial gain. And so you have to subdue your own interests for the interest of the body, and you only get that when you find out God's purpose. Then he gives you gifts to fulfill his purpose. Are you with me? And in that, he says, you have to serve somebody. If you got a gift, steward it well, use it to serve people, right? If you have a heart to serve, hear me, if you have a heart to serve people, you will never lack in spiritual power. You'll never lack in spiritual power. If you have a heart to serve people, you'll never lack in spiritual power. All you have to be is courageous and give. Second thing I want you to see. How do you activate that? How do you activate that? You got to do stuff you can't do. You got to do stuff you can't do. 1 Peter 4:11, he says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. What's that mean? You got to do stuff you can't do. How do I do stuff I don't do? Well, you allow compassion to activate your heart. And you go do stuff and God says, I'll buy you fly. I'll buy you fly. You just go and I'll make sure you have what you need to get it done. You hear my heart. You tap into me. You do the things that I want done. I'll make sure they come to pass. But you often got to step out before you actually have the money. You got to actually step out before you have the power. You got to allow compassion to move you in a way that puts a demand on God's power. Are you with me? I find this verse just really challenging. He says, you got to speak the words that God speaks. You got to do the stuff through the strength that God gives. If you're going to serve God, you got to speak like you're speaking God's words and serve like you're doing it under God's strength. That is, it's got to be way beyond you. It's got to be way beyond you. Too many people limit their ministry to their abilities. They limit it to what they understand. They limit it to what they can accomplish. And then they're just so proud that they did it. Look at it. Isn't this awesome what I did? You know. And again, it's like your kids who are so proud of the Christmas gift they bought you with the money you gave them to buy a gift. You're like, oh, good job, Johnny. Huh. That didn't look like the $20 I gave you, but nice gift. Where's the other 10, right? But you're so proud. Look what I bought you, Mom. Look, I got this. So you put a list of what you'd like, and you gave them money for it, and they went and bought it and brought it back, and they just won all the credit for buying you this amazing gift with your money, the exact way and place you told them to buy it. And that's us to God. Hey, God, isn't it awesome? Look what I did. Isn't this amazing? Aren't you so amazed that I did this thing? He's like, no. Like, I created you, and then I put my spirit in you, and I gave you life, and I told you where to go, and I guided you by my angels, and I gave you the word, and I set this thing up, and then you did what I told you to do. I guess, other than that, oh, yeah, amazing. Just so amazing. How could I have done this without you, I guess, right? Right? This walk, this call is just, it's so far beyond you. It's so far beyond what you're able to do. It's just, you got to live a life bigger than you. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be more. It's got to be beyond. You got to be able to do things beyond your abilities, right? You go to the gym and you lift the same weights for the next 20 years, you're not going to get any stronger. You got to be put, let me see if I can lift this today, right? And you start eating right, you stretch, you do what you got to do, you grow bigger. The kingdom, it's the same way. Your heart is moved with compassion. If your heart is moved with pride, it just does not work out as well. When your heart is moved by pride and self-promotion, what happens is you start setting up goals that you can achieve, and then you get proud of yourself, and you start bragging to people that you did stuff, and you never go beyond what you could do, and you don't get the credit you're looking for because everybody smells the self-promotion on it. And you only get to surround yourself with people who are deluded about who gets the glory, right? That was a little stronger than I meant it, but I still mean it. Listen, you want to live lives beyond you. You want to live in a strength beyond what you can do. You want to be able to speak like you're uttering the words of God. You want to be able to serve people with the strength that God provides. You want to live a life bigger than you. You want to be bigger than what you could do on your own. You don't just want your own gifts and talents to define what you're able to accomplish. Are you with me? Are you with me? And this is a good life, and it's a lot of fun. This is how we want to live. That's why Jesus said, you got to pray every day. Give us this day our daily bread. I need it today. I don't need yesterday's provision. I need it today. I want to do stuff today that I can't do without you. Wake up in the morning. God, I want to do stuff today that I can't do without you. I want to love in a way that I'm not able to love without you. I want to serve in a way I can't serve without you. I want to help people in a way I can't do without you. Number three. What's the purpose of this whole thing? What's the purpose of this whole thing? 1 Peter 4:11. I'm finishing here. I'm sorry I'm going late. Hallelujah. Are you feeling good? My watch says it's only 5 till. I'd like to follow my watch, but... Whoever speaks, we read the first part, is to do so as one speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Here's what I want to read right here. So that, here's the purpose. Are you ready? So that, next slide, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Who deserves to get the glory? To who does it belong? You see this, right? All things, God may be glorified through Jesus. The goal is to glorify God with our lives. Not to, aren't I exciting? Aren't I amazing? I don't want my reward here. I want it in heaven. I want Jesus to get all the reward here. Are you with me? So write this down. The purpose is to glorify God through Christ. Right? He gives us power, and our goal has to be to glorify God through Christ. Does that mean you got to live like a monk? No. Does it mean you got to, like... No, he likes you. He likes who he created you to be. He gave you that personality. Some of you are naturally skeptics. He created you that way. That's how you see the issues. That's how you can see things with a fresh eye. You want to do it with love and not a critical spirit, but God likes who he created in you. You don't have to be me. You don't have to be Mike. You don't have to be Mike. You just be you. You don't have to be Mike or Mike. Both these men are following God. They're very different. I believe Corey and I are following God. We're different. You don't think so as much, but I do. I think we're different. He likes you. But the goal has to be to glorify God through Christ. Let me show you how Paul wrote this. I'm going to read it in the Message version because I think it's really clear. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, in the Message version, Paul says it this way. The most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. Come on up, Mike. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God. Verse 11, wealthy in every way, so that you could be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Wealthy in every way, so we can be generous in every way, producing great praise to God. I want to share a concept with you I want you to think about this week. God has given you a special gift. Some of you, it's love. Some of you, it's encouragement. It could be prophecy. It could be finances. What are you going to do with that gift? Are you going to use that gift to make yourself feel important? To make yourself feel comfortable? Like the message of the American church today is like, just get more comfortable. God wants to make you even more comfortable. You're full, but stay full and get more full. Like, that's like, just stay comfy. Like, my goal is to protect your comfort. And it's, I mean, I like comfort. I just don't see it in the Bible as much. Right? What do you do with your gifts? Here's what's amazing. You can invest your gift in the kingdom. How? When you sow your gift into the lost, you turn your gift into souls. You could turn your gift into souls. God gives you a word of encouragement. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? What if you encourage someone who doesn't know God? All of a sudden, you got your gift. You sowed it into somebody who doesn't know God. You give glory. You glorify Christ Jesus through your gift. All of a sudden, they're looking to God. They get saved. What happens if you're standing in line at Publix? And I pray this all the time. I encourage you as well. I just want to be behind someone who can't afford their groceries. I love it when it happens. I've been fortunate enough to experience it. I just want to be behind someone who can't afford it. Comes up a little short. Let me see what I can take off. Nah, I got this. Wait, what? I just want to show you in a practical way how God loves you. Put me right here to pay for this. Keep your money. I got this. Jesus loves you in practical ways. Would you pay $60, $70, $80 to see somebody go to heaven? If I said right now, hey, this lady's going to go to hell right now. Can we raise $80 to get her into heaven? I bet every person in this room. No problem at all, right? What happens if you pay the electric bill of some woman who can't afford it to the glory of God? What happens if you pay for a kid to go to summer camp for the glory of God? I mean, just imagine. We're not having an offering, so be comfortable. Like, just, I'm just giving you a practical way that you could turn your gift into souls. Because you can't take your money to heaven, but my God, what you buy in the kingdom with it, you will. You'll get to heaven and you'll be like, I really could have lived without that, you know, the $100,000 I gave in my lifetime away. But now I'm surrounded with the testimony of my giving. And then I use money because it's an easy one, but again, we're to be courageous. We're to be encouraging. We're to be loving. We're to be serving. You feel Revival Life, you know, God has connected you here in some way. I promise you, He's not brought you here to be my apostle. You know, He's brought you here to serve. Open a door, hold a baby. You want to be great in the kingdom? Serve. You know how many times I've heard testimonies of women who are scared, single moms, they bring their kid here, they don't get a break from their kid all week. They put their baby in Revival Kids Junior, sit and listen to the message of God, they get saved. Because some woman gave up her Sunday morning to watch children. That's... We're talking about turning your gifts into souls. I mean, do you have an extra seat in your car on Sunday morning? Do you have an extra 15 minutes to stop and pick somebody up on the way? Would it be worth that to get someone saved? Well, I don't know, Pastor. Now we're talking about my comfort zone. Yeah, be courageous. Be courageous. Hey, you want to go out Saturday night? No, but you want to go out Sunday morning? I got you. Are you with me? Stand, let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. You're so very good, God. So very good, God. And Father, as we, I just thank everybody who serves here at Revival Life Church. Father, I pray this week, come on, just receive this. Let me just release this over you. Father, that they would be able to speak this week as the utterances of God. And serve with the strength that God provides. And love people who are hard to love under the strength that God provides. And they would invite people to come experience life. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody said? Amen. Give a clap offering to the Lord if you would. Listen, before you go, right here at the front, there are going to be some people who are going to lay hands on you. And you can experience the presence and power of God. Also, right over here at the intercession banner.